KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 presents The Charles Goyette Show. To speak with Charles, call 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. And now, America's most independent talk show host, here's Charles Goyette.
Oh, I got to let you hear on the show this morning, coming up a little bit later on, from Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who is campaigning on Saturday. The issue of medical marijuana came up. You've got to hear this story. You've got to let me tell you this story, and I'll get to it. We have a guest on the line right now, but coming up later on this morning on the show, I'll let you hear about Mitt Romney and the way he turned his back on this young man with muscular dystrophy sitting there in a wheelchair. They had a Mitt Romney gathering. The banner there said, "Ask Mitt anything." Oh, sure, ask him anything, but some things don't ask him, right? Ask Mitt anything. But that doesn't mean ask him anything. So we'll get to that coming up on the radio program a little bit later on. I hope you were with me back in the spring. I believe it was in April when we hooked up with Joshua Kors. Joshua Kors wrote an important story for The Nation magazine about just one Army specialist. I mean, he wanted to tell us a story about what's going on with a number of these guys coming home beaten, battered, and broken from the war. So he chose the story of John Towne because it encapsulates it. It writes some of the things that are going on quite large. So Joshua Kors wrote the story for The Nation magazine about how specialist John Towne lost his benefits. He visited us on the program, told the story, and as luck would have it, well, it's not always just luck, but he wrote an important story that grabbed a lot of people's attention, and grab a lot of people's attention it did. Because the story of specialist John Towne, the way he came back home and then was denied his medical benefits, the way he was diagnosed as having pre-existing conditions that would make him ineligible despite bombs going off and taking away his hearing and so on, despite a 107-millimeter rocket that knocked him unconscious, despite all that, he had a pre-existing personality disorder he was diagnosed with, and no benefits for you, soldier boy. So Joshua Kors' story ended up getting picked up by a lot of people. It got picked up by the Army Times, Washington Post Radio picked it up, Bob Woodruff, who obviously would have a certain sensitivity to these kinds of stories, reported on it on ABC News, and it was even dramatized back in the spring on an episode of Law and Order. So we got a chance to follow up with Joshua Kors from The Nation. He has a new updated story about specialist John Towne in The Nation this week. Joshua, thank you for being back on the show.
Good to be with you, Charles.
Yeah, it's good to have you on here. By the way, I didn't see the episode of Law and Order that dramatized the story. How did they do with it?
Well, being Law and Order, it was a touch more dramatic than the original case. In the Law and Order episode, the soldier, having been wounded like John Towne and denied all benefits because of a phony diagnosis of pre-existing personality disorder, ended up homeless and then was a victim of a homicide. In the episode, his sister comes in, talks about how healthy he was before deployment, as so many of the soldiers are who I've interviewed in the 12 months I've been reporting on this story. After they come back wounded, they seek benefits for their physical injuries. That you recall in John's case, he won the Purple Heart after he lost his hearing for being struck by that rocket in Ramadi, Iraq. Denied benefits because of this diagnosis of a pre-existing condition, and then suffering from there, both physically and financially. In Towne's case, before the media storm came, it took him 8 months before he got a chance to see a VA doctor. In that time, he was too ill to work. His family began to go bankrupt. At one point, they actually had to shut off their telephone because they couldn't afford the phone bills. It was only later, when the media came, the VA decided to take a second look at that case, decided that indeed he was wounded in war and in fact was 100% disabled. Weeks after they shut off the phone, he received a check for $20,000.
Well, so he didn't, as in Law and Order, become homeless, but they came awfully close then, as you've re- reported with his wife with a minimum wage job in an assembly line trying to keep the bills paid and so on. And by the way, was Fred Thompson on that Law and Order episode?
I believe he was.
It's a good place for him. That's where that's where he should be. But it did resonate with a lot of people. Your story did, and I was surprised to discover in your follow-up story that Dave Matthews began talking about John Towne on his spring concert tour and even passing the hat for him.
That's right. After he began discussing my reporting at his concerts this spring, his fans set up a fund drive in which they raised $3,000 for Towne. Matthews went a step further and wrote up a petition asking Congress to investigate the reporting. Within weeks, 23,000 of his fans signed up, and lo and behold, the congressional hearings did come to be. In July, I testified, as did John Towne, and a representative from the Surgeon General's office. And what's important about his story is not that this injustice happened to one soldier. It's that in the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder, denying those wounded soldiers a lifetime of disability and benefits is saving the military approximately $12.5 billion in disability and medical care. And you'll recall in Towne's case, like so many of these wounded soldiers, the 513 discharge, the personality disorder discharge, requires soldiers to give back their signing bonus for the years that they're too wounded to serve, so that on their final day in uniform, they find out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
Oh, jeez. Well, here's what I would like to know. How can all of these people with personality disorder somehow pass the screening process at the time they enlist?
Well, that's the absurdity of it. Not only do they pass the screening to get into the Army, a very rigorous process, but they pass a second screening before being deployed to Iraq. And like Towne, so many of these soldiers serve for years with distinction, in his case earning a dozen medals before this pre-existing condition was discovered. If one really had a personality disorder, they would be far too ill to get into the Army, far too ill to serve from their very first day. They would have trouble communicating with others, taking orders. And that's just simply not the case in any of the soldiers, the dozens of soldiers I've looked at during this past year. It's simply a scam. There's really no other way to look at it, and the soldiers, the wounded ones, are taking the brunt of it.
Joshua, I want to revisit an issue I asked you about when we spoke originally about your original story about Specialist Towne, because I find the whole thing really peculiar. You have presumably good young medical doctors go into the military. Hell, my oldest brother was one, and he spent years as an MD in the military. And they have no discernible motive that I can understand, no incentive to drum these guys out, to disqualify these guys as having had pre-existing conditions or whatever it may be. They have no motive that I am aware of, but somehow there must be pressure. There must be some incentives that are generated on high, some pressure on these lower-level doctors who are actually doing the medical examinations to come up with the kinds of decisions that they're coming up with. And I would like to know the source of that pressure and how it's applied.
Well, that's exactly it. In this follow-up article, which will be published this week, I speak with doctors who say misdiagnoses at their hospital are rampant. One told me he was pressured by his superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. And one of the stories he told me really went along the lines of the cases I've uncovered in this past year. He speaks about a soldier who came back from Iraq missing a chunk from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
Now, what I want that man under oath, and I want his superiors brought in, and I want them under oath.
I mean, let's go back to the motivation, because that is an important point. I mean, one, the pressure comes from the money managers at these places. We're talking about billions of dollars, and in fact, that doctor mentioned to me that from his experience treating wounded soldiers at the Army hospital, if all the soldiers who were physically and psychologically wounded really got the diagnosis they deserved, the cost for treating them would be exponentially larger. As it is, when you take all these wounded soldiers and flush them out the door without treatment, the cost for hospitals goes rapidly down.
Well,
also, we're talking about logistical problems, too. A personality disorder discharge can be wrapped up in about 5 days if they fight for a medical board where they're evaluated and given a lifetime of disability benefits. That process takes about 6 months. If they can convince the soldier to go along with a personality disorder, they flush him out the side door and free up a space for the 6 or 7 wounded soldiers who are waiting to take that.
Well, now you've opened a door for me to understand it or approach it a different way. Do you mean to tell me that some of the soldiers prefer a personality disorder discharge so they can get the hell out?
Well, no. No, in fact, the soldiers I've spoken to this past year, all of them say they were directly lied to by their doctors. The doctors would say, look, we know you don't have a personality disorder. You know it too. But if you take this discharge, you'll get disability care. You'll get disability pay. And you'll get to keep your signing bonus. It's only in their final hours in uniform as they're signing the final forms they find out none of those promises are true. And Charles, what really struck me was further stories I heard once my reporting got out. Now, many of the soldiers in these situations do know they're going to be denied a lifetime of disability medical benefits. So the doctors have taken a different tact. They've said, look, you know you don't have a personality disorder. I know it too. But the unit's about to redeploy to Iraq, and you're wounded. Your job in Iraq is going to be to cover your friend's back. Do you really want your friends to die because you stayed and fought for benefits? Wouldn't it be better to get you out of here fast? We can get someone healthy in your shoes to guard your friends, and we'll keep them alive. At that point, a lot of these soldiers say, boy, you know, I certainly didn't have this pre-existing lifelong condition that will deny me a lifetime of benefits. But if, you know, this will keep my friends alive, sure, I'll go ahead and take it.
Well, Joshua, hang on. When we come back, I want you to comment on the psychiatrist, the Army psychiatrist, who has said, well, a lot of these pre-existing conditions are dormant, and it's not until the troops have served in Iraq that they become, these personality disorders become apparent. I want you to comment on that. Maybe even, actually, I'd like you to comment on this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Knorr, when we continue as well. This is, it's an eye-opener at least. Joshua Kaur is on the line with us from New York. 7:19 in the morning now. I'm Charles Goyette, KFNX. All right, 7:21. I think it was personality disorder in the traffic center today or so. Who knows? But we'll catch up on traffic coming up a little bit later on in the morning on the show. In the meantime, Joshua Kaur is on the line with us from New York. I recommend to you his reporting in The Nation magazine. The original story, how Specialist Town lost his benefits back in April when we first spoke, and the follow-up that comes out this week, Specialist Town takes his case to Washington. Joshua, what about the memo that you've uncovered from Colonel Stephen Knorr, the psychiatrist at Fort Carson?
Stephen Knorr really is an eye-opener to precisely how these wounded soldiers are being treated. A stack of these personality disorder cases was brought to the attention of Surgeon General Gail Pollack, and Pollack promised a thoughtful and thorough review. That's her word from her 5-month investigation, saying that all of the soldiers, including John Town, whose hearing loss apparently came from personality disorder, she said all of these cases were properly diagnosed, and her office went on to say they had given a thoughtful review by a panel of independent health experts. Well, in the end, that turned out not to be the case. In the 5 months, they didn't speak to anybody, not even the soldiers whose cases they were reviewing. All they did is go to one of the doctors who created the false diagnoses and said, hey, did you get it right the first time? The doctor said, yep, we did. And they shut down the review at that point. The name of that doctor, Colonel Stephen Knorr. And Knorr, as the chief of behavioral health, oversaw a stack of these misdiagnoses, as a psychiatrist himself was involved in creating several of them. And his selection truly angered so many of the veterans, first because they had been promised an independent panel, and it turned out just to be Knorr. But second, as the sole reviewer, Knorr was a strange choice. He had written this memo you mentioned, which had been leaked to the media several months ago. The memo he had posted in his office to direct his doctors how to treat wounded soldiers. And it advises doctors not to trust soldiers about their own reports of their wounds. It says, we're not so naive as to believe everything soldiers tell us. He also advises his doctors to dismiss troubled soldiers quickly. As he put it, get rid of dead wood.
Wow.
Seems like a strange choice to be leading the review. And for this and several other actions in her efforts to cover up this scandal, Surgeon General Gail Pollack has really been at the eye of the hurricane. What's really bothering the veterans groups now is the way this is being handled. As I mentioned before, this has come to congressional hearings, and Surgeon General Pollack refused to show at the hearings. She refused to speak to me. And as you mentioned, I collaborated with reporter Bob Woodruff of ABC on a Nightline piece that we produced. She refused to speak to us then as well. Senator Barack Obama has been collaborating with Senator Kit Bond in establishing a bill that would put a freeze on these personality disorder discharges, a first stab at trying to solve this problem. But they haven't received any public support. Senators and representatives across the country have not been receiving phone calls from their constituents, and as a result, the public awareness isn't there. When the bill began to die, they did something that was a second effort, certainly not as good. They inserted a highly watered-down version in amendment form into the Pentagon budget, which was passed on Monday. Now, the headline for most of the newspapers across the country was $150 billion to continue the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But what was catching the eyes of veterans groups was this amendment saying that personality disorder discharges would get a second review, now by being seen by Surgeon General Gail Pollack, sort of like letting the fox.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, Joshua, if there are any heroes in the story. I'm still stumbling over this business about the line doctors. I mean, I've had management, people that I work for, say, you know, you must do thus and such, and I've responded, no, I know that you'd like me to, but I can't do that because it's wrong. And I've got to believe that there are line doctors who say, so Congress, are you telling me because Congress hasn't appropriated enough money to care for these men, that I have to lie or misdiagnose them? Tough bananas, I'm not going to do it. Are there any heroes in the story?
Well, I think the doctors who came forward to speak to me were heroes, though they were petrified that they would be fired or receive retribution from the Army. The Army is very much a top-down structure. You follow commands. And a lot of these doctors definitely want to stay in that Army structure because of the Ferries Doctrine, a 1950 Supreme Court case which prevents soldiers from suing their doctors. We all know how big malpractice is in the public sector. To be immune from that is a great draw, and they feel like they are serving the soldiers they're able to treat. If they have to slide a few out the side door without treatment, well, perhaps that's the price of business.
All right. Well, let's bring the story on home. Where are we today? I know that you know that Johnstown has gotten some attention and some care, but how do you assess the larger situation of these misdiagnoses to keep the cost down business?
Well, where we are now is what's going to happen with these two bills. On the Senate side, Barack Obama and Kit Bond's bill to freeze the discharges is matched with an equal bill on the House side by Congressman Phil Hare. And we'll see in the coming months whether that gains traction. On the political side, it's anybody's guess as to what's going to happen with Surgeon General Pollack. As you'll recall, with the Walter Reed scandal, the Pentagon took two actions. It asked for the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and it hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal.
Yeah.
It's anybody's guess what will happen with her or how the Pentagon will respond now that this has really reached the public.
Well, you've done a remarkable job, and it, not only is it remarkable reporting, but it's clearly resonated in a lot of corners because you've got a lot of people interested in the story. And had it not been for that, at least the story of Specialist Town might not have ended up, relatively well. I mean, he still suffered the injuries that he suffered. But we thank you very much for finding time for our show again, Joshua. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Charles.
Yeah. Joshua Kors in New York on the line this morning. The original story, and I believe you can find it online, in The Nation magazine, how Specialist Town lost his benefits. And then the follow-up that comes out this week, or actually next week, I guess, cover date, October 15th issue of The Nation, Specialist Town takes his case to Washington. Good work, good reporting, and just a good job and a terrible, terrible story. Well, how do these doctors fold under pressure? How do they capitulate? What are they going to do? I mean, they're going to fire you? So what? Are they going to take away your birthday? They're going to waterboard you? They're going to send you Guantanamo for making a correct medical diagnosis? What the hell's wrong with them? Well, what's wrong with Mitt Romney, we'll tell you coming up.
News, weather, and traffic. Arizona's News Talk leader. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.